Liz Taylor was kind of like Henry VIII, only hers wasn't called Henry. He said, I'm her eighth old man, I'm a Henry. Henry VIII I am. Amen. Well, it's good to be saved today, isn't it? I'm glad for the good spirit in the house of God this morning, the good worship. If you didn't worship God today, you missed one of the best opportunities we've had in a long time. Amen. And somebody asked me yesterday, said, you got a sugar stick? I said, I don't know yet, but I've got a sugar stick. Hallelujah. And seriously speaking, unless God gets in it between my tiredness and my lack of time on this, I won't be long. I assure you that. But if God gets in it, we may have to send out for supper.
Amen.
All right. I want you to turn the book of Psalms again this morning. Amen. To chapter number 51. Psalms 51 this morning. Psalm 51. I want to read the first three verses out of this chapter to you this morning. The Bible said there, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions.
Amen.
Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me.
Amen.
The words of the sweet psalmist of Israel, David. Let's look to the Lord in just a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for letting me worship you a little bit this morning. Letting me praise you for what you have done, reminding me again of where you brought me from and what you've done in my life. I want to know more about you. I want to be able to love you more, have a greater capacity to love you and love sinners, love the brotherhood. I pray for this morning's preaching hour that you'd just bless our hearts. We've had a good time so far. And I pray you'll not disappoint the people that are here. I pray that you'll bless Brother Hall and make me a blessing to them. Help me to say words of wisdom this morning that will strengthen the hearts of God's children. If there would be those amongst us today that's in sin, I pray, Lord, that like David, they would acknowledge that sin, confess it, forsake it, that the joy of the Lord might be restored in their life. I pray for sinners today to be saved by the good grace of God and for your name to be magnified. I pray for liberty. I pray for unction and power. And I pray for great grace, Lord, to be upon me today. In Christ's name, amen and amen. Thank you now, and you may be seated. If you noticed in verse number 1, David said there, have mercy upon me, O God.
Amen.
And then a little bit further down in that verse, he spoke about God having a multitude of tender mercies. Not just one, but a multitude of tender mercies.
Amen.
And I want to preach this morning, I think, in a way, if God would lead me the way my heart is and let me preach it that way, that I'd like to preach the gospel to some that may be here lost and without the Lord.
Amen.
Try to point you in the right direction where you might find Christ in your life. And for those of you that are saved and know the Lord, I'd like to carry you back just a little ways and trust the Lord to remind you of where you were and what He's done in your life.
Amen.
And I want to preach on this thought using verse number 1 as our text verse. Have mercy upon me, O God. And according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions.
Amen.
And I want to preach on this thought, if God will let me this morning, justice called and mercy answered.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
justice called and mercy answered. That's what happened to each one of us that are saved by the grace of God this morning. When the Holy Ghost hemmed us up in a place that we couldn't get away from Him. Justice called and we found ourselves in the balances. And our sin outweighed our good. But I'm glad, like the song says, that Jesus stepped on the other side of the scales. And He balanced things out for us. And when justice called on our life, thank God He that has a multitude of tender mercies answered. And so justice called and mercy answered. I think you'd have to agree with me that if we all got what we deserved this morning, we'd all be in hell. There's not a doubt about that in my mind. I know that about Brother Hall. And I know what the Bible says about sinners. The Bible said all sin comes short of the glory of God. So I know that had God's mercy not came to where you were, you would either be on your way or would be in hell this morning. But when that justice called, mercy answered. I want to say a few things about the background and the occasion of this psalm, and then I'll get right into the thought. But the background of it, David has fallen into gross sin. I'm talking about gross sin. And the depths of sin. And we find that in 2 Samuel chapter number 11. And David had first committed adultery. And then in an act to cover that up, David committed murder to try to cover up his own sin. And may I say that men and women have been trying to cover up their sin all down through the ages. And there's only one thing that will cover your sin, and that's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad that when He sees me, He sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy and not as I am. And David had fallen into gross sin. In chapter 11 of 2 Samuel, the Bible said it was a time when kings go forth to battle. Amen. And yet David remained behind. Let me begin by simply saying that David, because he was outside the will of God, Amen. Found himself committing this heinous sin of adultery and following that up by murder. I want to say this to you this morning. It is absolutely necessary for a child of God not only to find the will of God, but to stay in the will of God. I've heard preachers say, well, I know men that are in the permissive will of God. There is no such animal. The Bible said in Hebrews 12 that there is a perfect will of God. And you're either in the will of God or you're out of the will of God. One of the two for your life. God is not double-minded. And He's not established two wills for your life or my life. We're either in the will of God or we're out of the will of God. Now, we know David was a man after God's own heart. And yet, this man that found himself outside the will of God opened himself up for lust, temptation, and enticement, and made a way for the devil to lead him into gross sin. For when kings go out to battle, David stayed in Jerusalem and found himself on a rooftop gazing at a woman that was taking a bath. I personally believe that woman was naked. I also believe that that was not David's first trip to the top of that roof. I'm satisfied that David stayed in Jerusalem for that very reason, that he might gaze upon that woman and fulfill the lust of his heart and the desires and the lust of his mind. And I'm telling you, you better find the will of God and walk in the will of God and stay in the will of God. Anything outside the will of God, you are susceptible to fall into sin. I'm just glad that when David fell into that sin And Nathan came and justice called. Thank God it was not answered, ladies and gentlemen, with justice. It was answered by the abundant mercies of God. Hallelujah. And by the way, that doesn't give you a right to sin just because there's forgiveness of sin. And grace don't give you a reason to sin. No, grace ought to teach us that we ought to deny ungodliness and worldly love and live soberly and righteously in this present evil world. Hallelujah. Don't tell me it can't be done. I know better. Amen. If we can't overcome sin, we're in bad shape. We can't, but He has. And greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world.
Amen.
Now stay right with me. But once God exposes Nathan's sin, Nathan the prophet, David's heart becomes that of a true penitent. And that's always the way of a righteous man.
Amen.
When sin is exposed in your life or my life, and if we are a true, born-again child of God, the exposure of that sin will not drive us from God.
Amen.
It will draw us to God.
Amen.
David had enough sense to know, and had served God long enough to realize that God is a merciful God.
Amen.
And that if we're faithful and just to confess our sins, that He will be faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our problem is today we're like Adam and Eve. We're still trying to sow fig leaves over our sin and convince God that everything's all right when it's not all right.
Amen.
That's right. I'm going to tell you something. God don't hate you because you sin. I know a person right now that's got the idea that they cannot get saved because they can't find themselves in a perfect frame of mind and a perfect heart. May I say, God come to call sinners, not the righteous, to repentance. That is exactly right. And if you're waiting, ladies and gentlemen, to get perfect in this flesh, you're going to be waiting a long time. That's why He has provided an altar. That's why He has provided a way. That's why we have an intercessor at the right hand of God. That's why we have a great high priest, ladies and gentlemen. Hallelujah to God. And I remind you that David lived in that sin and lived outside the will of God for a year. Somebody said, well, he didn't know he had sinned. Give me a break. You don't tell me a man don't know when he commits adultery? Man don't know when he connives against a valiant man like Uriah and has him put to death? Sure he does. Sure he knew that. But yet he covered it up, tried to cover it up. But when Nathan came that day and told that story about that man, that one little ewe lamb, David said, that man will be put to death. And Nathan said, David, thou art the man.
Amen.
And you know the first words that come out of his mouth? He said, I have sinned.
Amen.
He didn't care, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
I'm telling you, when God pushes your little button about sin, you're not going to refrain. Amen. You're not going to hold back. When God puts His finger on your heart, you're going to talk to Him. We thank God some little Peabody old gray-headed man sitting up there, the old man upstairs. He's God that knows our thoughts afar off. Amen. That's right. Thank God now. David took full responsibility of his sin by acknowledging it. Then pleading for mercy that will both pardon, and not only pardon, but will cleanse from sin, transgression, and iniquity. Now, I want to show you something. Get a hold of this. We look at cleansing, and I'm not out of the Bible. He said, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin in verse number 3. I'm not out of my text. Now, I'm telling you, friend, That when we confess sin, just like David did, and God cleanses him from that sin, it's not just a judicial act. God's blood actually cleanses your soul of that sin. Somebody say amen right there. What can wash away all my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'm so glad that when God sent Nathan and justice called, that God answered with mercy. Hallelujah. There is mercy to be had with the Lord. Now, and I want you to notice in verse 1, before forgiveness and cleansing can be experienced, mercy must be bestowed. There had to be mercy before mercy is mentioned before verse 3. Verse 2, rather. Mercy in verse 1 is mentioned before washing and cleansing in verse number 2. There has to be mercy before anybody, whether sinner or saint, can find cleansing from their sin. There's got to be mercy. Now, I want you to notice, and I'm not going to be long. I promise you I won't be. But mercy is personal.
Amen.
It's something, somebody said, that's really deep. It might be deeper than what you think.
Amen.
Mercy is something that is personal.
Right.
And I don't want to split theological hairs, but it's unlike grace.
Right.
Grace and mercy are not the same thing. Mercy is personal. Grace is universal.
Amen.
The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men.
Amen.
The last time I studied that word all in the Greek, it means all.
Amen.
It hath appeared unto all men.
Amen.
But I guarantee you that mercy has not appeared unto all men.
Amen.
Mercy is personal. You say, how you know, preacher? Because there's multitudes out there that are yet in their sin without God, who have never, by the mercy of God, been delivered, and their sins has never been cleansed. Hallelujah. Boy, I'll tell you, when God saved you and showed you mercy. I remember that night old brother Ricky got in over in the corner. Miss Patty got in October of 89, right up here on this altar.
Amen.
I remember when some of the rest, hey, mercy met you there.
Amen.
That night God helped you in the balances.
Amen.
And said, you're guilty.
Amen.
You're guilty. You're a sinner. You're guilty. And in your heart you said, what am I going to do? And God said, you're guilty, but here's mercy.
Amen.
Mercy didn't come to everybody else in here. The same grace that got you on the altar was available to everybody. But thank God when you got on that altar, it was mercy that pardoned and cleansed you from your sin.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's a personal thing. Now, like I said, it's unlike grace. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men.
Amen.
Now, it's personal because mercy, listen to me now, mercy seeks the sinner.
Amen.
It's mercy that seeks the sinner.
Amen.
Somebody said, now preacher, you've gone off the deep end. Oh, I know I'm not either. If you want to turn there, you can, but I'm just going to mention a few things. In John chapter 5,
Amen.
The Bible said that in John chapter number 5, that the Lord went up to Jerusalem.
Amen.
And there was at Jerusalem, there was there a sheep market by a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda,
Amen.
Having five porches, in which a multitude, get this now, a multitude of impotent folk. There was more than one man there that needed mercy that day. The Bible said that when the angel came down and stirred the waters, the first one got in, got healed of his sickness. Amen. There was a multitude laying around there. Now, I say that mercy and grace here is there's one. The word Bethesda means mercy. That means that the house of mercy. But it had five porches and five is the number of grace. Maya, whoo, I'm about to have myself a spell right here. When grace, the Bible said that the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And ladies and gentlemen, grace walked out into that whole multitude of innocent folk. The same grace that was available to one man was available to all men. But when God saw that man lay for 38 years, and God knew, isn't that amazing? God knew how long that old boy had been laying there. And when you got saved, God knew how long you had been lost. God knew how long you had been impotent. God knew how long you had been weak. God knew how long you had been a sinner. God knew how long you had been a transgressor. And by the way, God knew right exactly where you were. Now you can call me whatever you want to call me as long as Sister Hall calls me three times a day. I don't give a flip what you call me.
Amen.
I'm telling you, he went to that man that had been impotent for 38 years and said, "Will thou be made whole?" He said, "I have no man to put me in the water when it stirred. No man to put me in the water." Then Jesus' mind, he said, "That's all right. The water just come to you." I'm glad, thank God, when I couldn't get to the water. When I couldn't get to the water, thank God the water turned to where I was. Amen. When grace was made available, mercy came to where I was and brought the water to where I was. Amen. On that Sunday morning, he said, "Jerry, would thou be made whole?" Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus looked at that impotent man and said, "Take up your bed and walk." And that religious crowd said, "Oh, unto God, it's a Sabbath day and he's carrying a bed." They didn't give a flip about him being saved.
That's right.
They didn't care about him being saved. That's the way a lot of folks are today. Somebody getting born again.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God, I like it when they get in more.
Amen.
I'm waiting on some of these young ones around here. Amen.
Amen.
Stay under preaching long enough and let the hammer of the Word of God hammer on their heart until that heart breaks, amen, and they come to Christ being saved by the marvelous grace of God. Amen. And when some of your kids get saved, or some of you failed adults, parents don't shout, "I'm going to come back, bless God, and take hold of you. I'm going to physically get a hold of you." Somebody said, "You might turn us loose." I probably will, but I won't keep him from taking hold of you. You might, I might have turned loose quicker than I took a hold, but I'll still take hold.
Amen.
Amen. I got your own on my side. Now, grace is not only personal and it seeks a Savior, mercy rather. But I want to say mercy is powerful. Mercy is powerful in that it can soften the heart. You know the story in Luke number chapter number 7 of Mary Magdalene? When Simon the Pharisee had spread a feast for the Lord, and the Lord went into Simon's house, and Simon gave him no water to wash his feet, did not anoint his head. Here come Mary Magdalene, who was a harlot.
Amen.
A harlot.
Amen.
Whose heart was cold as an adamant and hard as iron. She was a sinner.
Amen.
Oh, I'm going to tell you what. When she saw Jesus that day and walked into that house and came up behind him and began with the tears of her eyes. Hey, that old heart broke, didn't it?
Amen.
Hey, you know why? She saw mercy. Hey, mercy was in the house, but as far as I know, Mary Magdalene was a woo! She's the only one that experienced that mercy. Here is Simon, a Pharisee, a real religious guy. That woman begins to weep and cry and wipe the Lord's hair with her feet, with her hair, and kiss him on the feet. Would you believe that he let a harlot, a prostitute, put her lips on him? I'm glad Jesus receiveth, oh sinners. He receiveth sinful men. Hallelujah to God. And he never flinched a muscle when she bent down and kissed him. No, Simon said in his mind, in his heart, said he's not a prophet. If he had been a prophet, he'd know what kind of a woman that is. And Jesus, knowing his thoughts, don't you think Jesus don't know, turned and looked at him and said, Simon, I've got something to say to thee, buddy. He said, Master, say on. He said, you know, I come in your house and said, you didn't give me any water to wash my feet. He said, you didn't anoint my head. But ever since I've been here, since this woman has anointed my feet with oil, washed them with the tears of her eyes, and dried it with the hair of her head.
Amen.
And he said, I want to ask you a question. He said, who do you think loves most? Those who have many sins, and I'm just paraphrasing, or those who have few. He said, I suppose the one would love the most that has been forgiven the most. The Lord said, you've rightly said, and then he began to tell the story about Mary. Amen, amen to God.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, grace was there for all.
Amen.
But mercy that is personal and mercy that is powerful.
Amen,
amen. Reached down to that old harlot.
Amen.
She found herself between a rock and a hard spot and realized it was either heaven or it was hell, one of the two, buddy.
Amen.
Now I tell you, a man would have to be a fool that realizes he's got two choices, heaven or hell. He'd be a fool not to take heaven, friend. Amen. Hell's a place where the worm dieth not and the fire shall never tell Mr. What's his name up there in Charlotte. Who? Billy Graham, I said that.
Amen.
Their fire shall never be quenched.
Amen.
Don't tell me it's not eternal.
That's right.
But I'm going to tell you what's even greater than that. It wasn't hell that had her troubled.
That's right.
It was the fact that she had offended God.
Amen.
That God's holiness had been stepped upon and trodden. Under her feet, she had stepped on the holiness of God. And when she realized the heart of love that Jesus had, hallelujah,
amen,
that he'd leave heaven and come to this earth,
yes,
to die for old sinners.
Yes,
I know some of you don't like this word, but I'm going to use it anyway. I'm glad, thank God, he'll save an old whore.
Amen.
He'll save a harlot.
Amen.
He'll save a whoremonger.
Amen.
He'll save a drunk, a thief. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Somebody say amen. A cutler, poker player, gambling, beer sucking, hang tall, gambling, dirty, lousy dog. He'll save. What a God, Brother Troy. What power he displayed, mercy displayed. That morning when God broke your heart.
Amen.
Or that afternoon, that night, or whenever it was.
Amen.
That God's mercy came to you personally.
Amen.
And broke your heart.
That's right.
My wife and I witnessed to that little lady girl up here that used to be at Shoney's. She was she's half black and half white girl. Every time we'd go in up there, she'd wait on us. I'd give her a gospel tract and witness to her. I'd tell her just the same thing I told Sharon when I witnessed to Sharon up at the same restaurant. I'd say, hey, at 10:15 on Sunday mornings, right down Island Bull Row.
Amen.
And she'd say, you're going to get me one of these days, preacher. You're going to get me. Finally, we walked in up there one Saturday night, and she wouldn't even wait on our table. And I thought, something's wrong. And just so be when we left and went to the cashier, she was standing up at the cashier's desk. And I said, "Hey," I said, "in the morning at 10:15, right down the road." And she walked right over to where I was at. She said, "Preacher," she said, "I appreciate everything you've tried to do for me." She said, "I know you're right. And I know you've tried to love me and invited me to church." And she said, "I know I need to be there. I need to be saved." And she said, "My divorce was final yesterday. And from now on, I'm going to live. I'm going to live." But at 9 o'clock the next morning under the water tower in Arlington, Kentucky, her husband took an automatic pistol and killed her and every child they had. Are you listening to what I'm telling you this morning?
Right.
Amen. Grace was there and mercy not.
Amen.
And she said no. Don't you know old David was a joyful man?
Amen.
Nathan said, "David, thou art a man." He said, "Oh, I've sinned." But the next words that fell from Nathan's lips were the sweetest words that's ever been heard on mortal ear. Nathan said, "But God hath forgiven your sins." Mercy. Have mercy. And by the way, that Psalm 51 is David's confession of that sin. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. I need something personal. I need something powerful.
Amen.
And that old adamant sinner become a weeping penitent in a Pharisee's house. What about that?
Amen.
God wonderful.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Anybody listening this morning?
Amen.
I want to say, not only powerful and it softens the heart, but it subdues the pride.
Amen.
The enmity of the heart. You know, I don't believe there was a prouder man in the New Testament than a man by the name of Paul. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, he said, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh." He said, "I want you to listen to my heritage and my pedigree." He said, "If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof that he might trust in the flesh, I more." He said, "I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness of the, which is of the law, blameless." He said, "Oh, I had everything going my way, boy.
Yeah.
Had everything going my way.
Yeah.
But one day, one sunshine, that just struck a note. I won't say when God shows mercy, the sun's always shining. Hallelujah to God. And on that sunshiny day on the road to Damascus, Paul saw a light shine round about him, brighter than the noonday sun. Hey, are you listening to me? And everybody with him, and you always get these backwards. I'm going to put it this way. If I'm wrong, I'll apologize next week. But they all saw the light, but not one of them heard the voice. Or is it vice versa? It could be vice versa.
That's right,
though. That's right.
All of them saw the light. That's grace. But one, that personal one, mercy, came to Paul on the road to Damascus. And God took away all that pride. All that arrogancy. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. When Paul got up and went down into Damascus, and 3 days later, Ananias came and said, Brother Saul, God has sent me that I might baptize you and you might receive your sight." Anybody listening now?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, scales fell from his eyes.
Amen.
And immediately, I believe Paul thought in his heart, he thought about all those things. "I was circumcised the eighth day.
Yeah.
The stock of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin, the Pharisee of the Pharisees, touching the law." He said, "I was blameless, persecuting the church. I was blameless." But when them scales fell from his eyes, He said, I count it all but dung. My pride's gone, boy. You can have her all. Praise God. God ain't interested in what kind of pedigree you got or what kind of a background you have or what kind of a family you come from. God's interested in your heart, whether you're going to receive the truth of the gospel and let God show mercy on you.
Amen.
He said, I count it all but dung. All of that worldly stuff. Boy, don't we have a society today that's seeking the world. I got to think about last night, and I guess I probably sounded a little ugly to Brother Steve last night, but I didn't mean to. He said, one of the problems today, he said, we're always taking up offerings for buy gospel tracts and give to missionaries and give this. You know. He said, we don't got any money left. I said, that's not the problem, Brother Steve. The problem is we spend money on four-wheelers and motorboats.
Right.
That's right. Come on in the house. Shiny new pickup trucks. And everybody's got to have three or four automobiles sitting in the driveway. Come on in the house. Amen. Golf carts and golf clubs and all that stuff. We spend all of our money. Hey, it's a funny thing. They don't have no money left to spend for God. But they've always got money to buy whatever they want to buy. Amen. I wonder how many folks really experienced mercy. Said, I count it all but dung that I might win Christ. That I might know Him. The power of His resurrection. Paul said, I want to know how it feels to have power over the grave, thank God. He's the one who said, oh grave, where's my sting? Hallelujah to God. Whoa.
Praise God. I better be careful on that.
God. Hey, man. That's bad news, that boy. Praise God. Help that get out of there. Somebody in here must have been getting ready to shoot me. Nothing under the hammer.
Amen.
Oh, well, you want four of them? Don't come at me to come on. It's God let me preach. May I say that it's so powerful that it also severs the chains of sin. That's right, which holds the soul in that place of sin. I love to preach on that old maniac of Gadara.
Amen.
Now I want you to, I'm not going to turn there in Mark number 5. Now I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I've got to get ahead of myself to tell you this. When they all came out and saw that old maniac sitting at Jesus' feet and in his right mind, they were all afraid and they said, please depart out of our coast. I'm talking about mercy. Grace was available to all of them. But they didn't want the same mercy that old maniac that was bound with chains and fetters and no man could tame him. And I'm going to tell you, God-man tamed him. Praise God, I'm telling you, when God-man got on his case, he tamed him. When that crowd come out and saw what had happened, mercy broke the bonds of iniquity and sin. Hallelujah. Praise God, when we sing songs like Jesus passed by my way, it ought to elate us. We ought to get in the sight of ourselves. Hallelujah. If I'd offended you when that happened, well, I'm sorry about it. That's just one thing to say. Like my American Express card, I don't leave home without it, buddy. If your life been threatened as many times as mine has, you wouldn't either. One joker wrote down there one day in a letter and said, I'll come down there and blow you into vapor. Mm-hmm. Well, I ain't vapor yet. Hot air is what it is. But on the other hand, I ain't no chance.
Amen.
What about that old maniac? All the country of Gadara.
Amen.
Had grace standing right in the midst of it. But mercy. But God.
Amen.
Get a hold of this. Who is rich in mercy.
Amen.
For His great love. When He loved us.
Amen.
Even while we were sinners. Christ died for the ungodly.
Amen.
Now. I want to say that mercy is plenteous. He said there in verse number 1. He spoke. Psalms 51. He spoke of the multitude. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of Thy tender mercies. It's not only personal. It's not only powerful. It's plenteous.
Amen.
There's enough to go around, friend.
That's right. Amen.
What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that all them old sinners could have been saved. Because just like grace was in their midst, so was mercy.
That's right. Amen.
But I'm telling you, we serve a God that looks upon the hearts.
Right.
And He knows what's in the heart of man, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
He knows what's in your hearts this morning.
Amen.
I can read you a verse, Psalm 86:5. For Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy.
Amen.
Unto all them that call upon Thee.
Amen.
I wrote this down. The vial of God's wrath. It just drops. Do you realize if God poured out all of His wrath upon you now, where you'd be. May I say to you, when they're finally all thrown in the lake of fire, they're going to see all of God's wrath. And
Amen.
It's going to be poured out without measure.
Amen.
So wrath is poured out like a vial, only in drops. But mercy runs like a fountain.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen.
Somebody said he run out of mercy. Boy, is that right? Wrath in drops. Mercy like a river.
Amen.
And if you don't want it, I'll lay under the spout and take it off.
Amen.
Hey man, Brother Jerome, 365 feet down in a dark night, God showed mercy to Jerome Wilrobart. Bought that Bible to give to somebody else, but God said, Jerome, I'm going to show you mercy. You're the one that needs that Bible. And there said old Brother Jerome reading it. 365 feet down in the mine shaft.
Amen.
Without any light, be an awful dark place.
Amen.
Awful dirty place. But God goes into the darkness.
Amen.
And the dirt.
Amen.
And mercy.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Mercy draws us out of it. Ooh, hallelujah
Amen.
To God.
Amen.
He can get a drunk off of our stool, Brother Andy. He can get a drunk off the dance floor.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
He can get a card player out of the card houses.
Yes.
You won't go to Casino Astar.
Right.
You've got mercy.
Amen.
Now, it's plenteous in its dimensions. Somebody said, what do you mean, preacher? You ain't going to believe what I wrote down here. I said all dimensions. I said in its depth it reaches as low as sinners. But I wrote down, I don't know why I wrote this. I said David Hall out his flesh. David Hall. I must have had me on my mind. I said, David Hall allowed his flesh to drop to the depths of depravity. And that's what wasn't David Hall, it was just David. I must have been thinking, I better rub that out. I was probably thinking of my sweetheart over there and had her on my heart. Hall is her last name, you know. She don't go like some presidential candidates. She's not Brenda Porter Hall. Brenda Hall. Gail in the middle. Hallelujah. When I married her, I thought she was a Gail. That third morning when she stabbed me with that fork, I said, buddy, what about God? I said, God have mercy. I want to have mercy. She's a gale of wind, boy, that's going to be rough in the handle. Might as well steal this storm. But Jesus passed.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen!
I said its depths reaches as low as sinners, and its heights reaches above the clouds. That is, its depths reaches the sinner, and its heights reaches Jesus.
Amen.
And mercy comes down. It's plenteous in all seasons. In the night, He gives a song. And in the morning, His compassions are new.
Amen.
It's plenteous in all sorts.
Right.
It's for the poor. The Bible said in 1 Samuel 2:8, He raises up the poor out of the dust.
Amen.
It's for the prisoner.
Right.
Psalm 29:33, and despiseth not His prisoners.
Amen.
All sorts of mercy.
Yes,
reaches all heights and all depths. All seasons. By the way, it's in season, out of season.
Yes,
it's always available to sinners, just like
Amen.
Here this morning. Mercy will come to you this morning.
Yes.
Then I want to say it's not only personal and powerful and plenteous, but it's pardoning. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of Thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me.
Amen.
Against Thee and Thee only have I sinned, and on down. He said, purge me with hyssop. I know a fellow didn't know how to pronounce that word. I shall be clean. On and on it goes.
Amen.
And you know what? God heard David. And when Nathan brought justice and justice called, God answered with mercy. And mercy pardoned. How many of you in here remember what I told you pardon is? When somebody is pardoned, they're wanting President Bush to pardon those two men that were border guards that shot that fellow. My only regret is they didn't kill the egg sucker. Nod your head up and down. I know some of you don't like that. But they want President Bush to pardon them. And I say that he ought to.
Amen.
But if he would pardon them, that would not be making them innocent of their crime. A pardon does not say he didn't do it. A pardon says, you're guilty, but I'm going to set you free anyway. That's pardon. And when God pardoned David, God said, David, you're guilty. David admitted he was guilty.
Right.
He said, I'm going to pardon all your iniquities. You're guilty, and I'm going to let you go free.
Amen.
Folks, if we could just get a hold of that.
Right.
God pardoned us.
Amen.
And that pardon is written in the blood of the Lamb. On that Lamb's Book of Life where it says, Gary L. Hall, out beside us, is freed by the blood.
Amen.
Yes.
Pardon.
Amen.
By the blood.
Amen.
That's all a pardon is. It sets you free.
Amen.
Makes you free.
That's right.
Anybody here this morning locked up, want to be free?
Sure.
Anybody in here this morning between that rock and that hard spot? And grace is all around you.
Amen.
But what you need today is a personal touch of mercy.
Amen.
A powerful touch of mercy.
Amen.
It's plenteous.
That's right.
And it's pardoning. And it'll set you free today.
Amen.
And I tell you, it'll make you as a child of God run your head through a wall if you ever get a hold of it.
Amen.
Somebody asked me in there in the room the other day at a marathon. I said, Preacher, yeah, I've heard you say this all the time. When you get to heaven, what are you going to do if God tells you to run your head through a wall? I said, I'm going to run my head through a wall.
Amen.
If He tells you to do it, it'll be all right to do it.
Right.
Somebody said, well, I'd put a blemish in heaven. I'm sure He could take care of that little blemish.
Amen.
He is in the blemish removing businesses. We might have some scars now. But there's coming a day when there will not be spot.
Amen.
Not blemish.
Amen.
What a Savior.
Amen.
Let's stand together.